Welcome back, everyone, to another deep dive. This time, we're taking a journey back to 1968 to explore a landmark case in securities law, Escott v. Barcris Construction Corp.
You know, even though this case is over 50 years old, Barcris is still incredibly relevant today. It's really the foundation for how we think about due diligence.
So not as a dusty old case, then?
Definitely not. I mean, think about it. IPOs, specs, really any time a company is trying to raise money, Barcris is right there in the background setting the standard for what's expected, especially under Section 11 of the Securities Act of 1933.
Okay, I'm intrigued, but I need some context here. What exactly was Barcris and what landed them in court?
Well, picture this. It's the 1960s and bowling alleys are all the rage. Barcris Construction is riding that wave, right? So in 1961, they decide to go public and they offer investors $3.5 million in convertible debentures.
Sounds promising, at least at first.
Right. But not long after Barcris strikes out, they file for bankruptcy.
Oh, wow. A real gutter ball for the investors.
Yeah, you could say that. And the investors weren't happy. They cried foul, saying that the company's registration statement was full of errors. And we're not talking about typos here. We're talking about major misstatements that made the company look way better than it actually was.
So the investors felt like they were being misled.
Exactly. And the court agreed. They found what we call material misstatements in three key areas. First, Barcris had inflated their sales figures. They made it look like they were selling way more than they actually were.
Classic move, but not exactly legal.
Right. Second, they had hidden liabilities. These were like skeletons in the closet, debts and obligations that were tucked away and not properly disclosed.
So they were trying to hide their financial troubles.
Exactly. And third, and this is a big one, they didn't disclose customer defaults. Basically, people were not paying their bills.
Okay, that's a pretty big red flag for any investor.
It is, isn't it? I mean, I think about it. If you're buying a used car and later find out that the mileage was rolled back, you'd feel cheated.
Absolutely. So these misstatements, these errors in the registration statement, that's what we mean by material.
Exactly. Material in this sense means information that a reasonable investor would want to know before making a decision. It's stuff that could actually change their mind about whether or not to invest.
Okay, that makes sense. So where does due diligence come into all of this?
Well, due diligence is essentially the process of, well, doing your homework. It's about investigating and verifying information before you make a big decision. In the context of Barcris, it means making sure that the information given to investor was accurate and complete.
And all the players involved, the executives, directors, the underwriters, everyone claimed they had done their due diligence, right?
Right. But the court didn't buy it.
Why not? It seems like everyone was pointing fingers at someone else.
Well, let's start with the inside directors. Those are the company executives. They were the ones who really knew or should have known about these problems, but they still signed off on the registration statement. The court basically said you can't plead ignorance when you're the ones creating the problem.
Fair enough. What about the outside directors? They weren't involved in the day-to-day operations, were they?
True, but the court said they still had a responsibility. They were held to a prudent person standard. That means they should have acted with the same care and diligence that they would if they were managing their own money.
So just taking the executives at their word wasn't enough?
No, they should have been more skeptical, especially with all those red flags waving in the air.
Okay, so digging deeper, asking tough questions, that's what's expected. What about the auditors? Weren't they supposed to catch this kind of thing?
You would think, right? But even the auditors, in this case, Pete Marwick, didn't meet the due diligence standard. They relied on what the management told them about certain liabilities without actually verifying it themselves.
So even relying on the experts doesn't get you off the hook.
Not if there are warning signs that you should be paying attention to. The court really emphasized that due diligence is about active verification, not just accepting what you told.
So it's a much higher level of scrutiny than just checking boxes on a checklist?
Exactly. Barcris made it clear that due diligence is a dynamic process. It requires a healthy dose of skepticism and a willingness to, well, follow the breadcrumbs wherever they lead.
Okay, so we've got the executives, the directors, and the auditors. What about the underwriters? These are the folks responsible for selling those securities to investors. What role did they play in all of this?
Well, the underwriters relied heavily on comfort letters. These were essentially assurances from the company and the auditors that everything was on the up and up. But the court said, hold on, you can't just rely on these letters, especially when there are red flags.
So these comfort letters weren't the get-out-of-jail-free cards they thought they were?
Nope. The court made it very clear that underwriters have a responsibility to do their own independent due diligence. Blind trust just doesn't fly when it comes to protecting investors.
This is all painting a pretty clear picture of what real due diligence looks like. Before we move on, I want to highlight two quotes from the Barcris decision that I think really capture the essence of all this.
Oh, I'm all ears. Quotes can be really powerful in legal cases.
The first one is, "It is not always sufficient merely to ask questions." And the second is, the way to prevent mistakes is to test oral information by examining the original written record.
That's it, right there. Those quotes really drive home the point that due diligence is about taking action, not just sitting back and taking someone's word for it. It's about digging deeper, verifying information, and leaving no stone unturned.
Okay, so it's more than just going through the motions. Due diligence is about really uncovering the truth, no matter how deep you have to dig.
Absolutely. And one of the biggest lessons from Barkris is that due diligence is non-delatable. You can't just say, well, I assume someone else was checking that.
So each person is responsible for their own due diligence efforts. No passing the buck.
Exactly. It's like a chain, right? If one link breaks, the whole thing falls apart. And that brings us to another crucial lesson from Barkris, materiality.
Okay, we talked about material misstatements earlier, but how does Barkris define materiality in general?
Well, the case made it clear that materiality is pretty broad. It's not just about the big financial numbers. It's about anything that could reasonably influence an investor's decision.
So even something that might seem small on the surface could be a deal breaker for investors.
Exactly. And this is especially important today, right? Investors are looking at a lot more than just financial performance. Things like environmental sustainability, social responsibility, all that stuff can be material to investors.
So a company's ESG performance, that could be just as important as their profits.
Absolutely. And that means the scope of due diligence has to expand to include all those non-financial factors. It's not just about the numbers anymore.
Okay, so we've got non-delatable due diligence and a broad definition of materiality. What's the third big takeaway from Barkris?
I think the third lesson is about action. It's about what happens when you see those red flags.
So you can't just ignore them, even if it's easier to look the other way?
Right. If something seems off, you have a duty to investigate, ask tough questions, and maybe even, you know, blow the whistle if necessary.
So turning a blind eye is not an option, even if it means delaying a deal or, I don't know, rocking the boat a little.
Exactly. In the world of securities law, ignorance is not a defense, especially when it comes to protecting investors.
This all makes perfect sense in the context of, you know, a traditional IPO. How does Barkris apply to the modern financial world? I mean, we've got things like SPACs, cryptocurrencies. It's a whole different landscape now, right?
That's a great question. And it's true, the financial instruments have evolved, but the fundamental principles of due diligence haven't changed. That prudent person standard we talked about, that still applies.
So whether it's a SPAC, an IPO, or a crypto offering, that same rigorous approach to due diligence is required?
Absolutely. Let's take SPACs, for example. These are those blank check companies that acquire a private company and take it public. The SPAC sponsors, the ones who raise the initial capital, they have a big responsibility to do their due diligence on any potential acquisition target.
So they can't just rely on the target company's promises, right? They need to do their own digging.
Exactly. They need to scrutinize those financials, the business model, the management team, all of it. And they can't just accept what they're told. They have to dig deeper, ask tough questions, really make sure they're comfortable with the answers.
And what about these cryptocurrency offerings? I mean, this is a whole new world. Things are changing so fast. Does Barkris even apply here?
It does. Even though the regulations around crypto are still evolving, the basic principles of due diligence are just as important. Investors need to be able to assess the legitimacy of the project, the technology, the team behind it, the whole picture. It's all about mitigating risk.
So Barkris isn't just a history lesson. It's a living document that can guide us in this ever-changing financial world.
That's a great way to put it. Barkris shows us that due diligence is more than just a legal obligation. It's an ethical imperative. It's about protecting investors, making sure the markets are fair, and ultimately building trust in the financial system.
Okay, we've covered a lot of ground today, but I want to make sure our listeners are walking away with the key takeaways. Can you sum up the three enduring lessons from Barkris for us?
Sure. First, remember that due diligence is non-delegable. Everyone involved in a securities offering has that individual responsibility to conduct their own due diligence. Second, remember that materiality is defined broadly. It's not just about the numbers. It's about anything that could influence an investor's decision. And third, remember that those red flags, they demand action. Don't ignore them. Investigate. Ask those tough questions. And if you need to, blow that whistle.
Those are incredibly valuable lessons, and they apply to so much more than just securities law, right? I mean, they're really about responsible decision-making in any context.
You're absolutely right.
But before we wrap up this deep dive, I have one more question that's been on my mind. We've talked about the legal side of due diligence, the ethical side, but what about the practical side?
Oh, that's an interesting question. What do you mean?
I mean, what does due diligence actually look like in practice? How can someone be sure they've done enough? What are the steps involved?
That's a great question, and it probably deserves its own deep dive, but I can give you a few key points to think about. First, you really need to understand the context. What kind of deal are we talking about? What are the risks? Who are the key players?
Okay, so context is key. What else?
Second, don't rely on just one source of information. Get out there and talk to people. Talk to customers, suppliers, competitors, industry experts. Look beyond those management presentations and audited financials.
So multiple perspectives, a 360-degree view.
Exactly. And finally, be skeptical. Don't just take everything at face value. Question things. Look for inconsistencies, things that don't add up, anything that seems too good to be true.
So it's about being proactive, thorough, and above all, skeptical.
Precisely. Due diligence is kind of like detective work, right? You need to be curious, you need to be persistent, and you need to follow that evidence wherever it leads.
Okay, I like that. Due diligence as detective work. So even with the most thorough due diligence, can you eliminate all risk?
Probably not. There's always going to be some level of risk. But doing your due diligence can significantly reduce the chances of nasty surprises down the road.
That's a comforting thought. So it sounds like Barkris gives us a framework for approaching due diligence, but it's up to each individual to apply those questionables in a thoughtful and, you know, rigorous way.
Exactly. It's not a one-size-fits-all formula. It's a mindset. It's about prioritizing thoroughness, skepticism, and that commitment to finding the truth.
You know, it strikes me that there's another dimension to all of this that we haven't really touched on yet. I'm talking about the ethical implications of due diligence.
It's true. Barkris isn't just about following the letter of the law. It really highlights this deeper ethical responsibility, this idea of protecting investors and being transparent.
Right. It's like the case is saying, hey, you can't just chase profits and throw ethics out the window.
I think what's really interesting is how the case shines a light on those potential conflicts of interest that can come up in these situations, right? Everyone wants the deal to go through, but that can't overshadow a responsibility to make sure investors have all the facts.
So it's about finding that balance between different interests, but always with a focus on protecting those investors.
Exactly. And Barkris really drives home the point that this responsibility isn't just on the company itself. Underwriters, auditors, lawyers, everyone involved has a role to play in upholding those ethical standards.
I like that. It really does take a village of professionals who are all committed to making sure the financial system is fair and transparent.
Absolutely. And Barkris emphasizes that staying silent, you know, just keeping your mouth shut when you see something wrong, that can be just as damaging as actually lying or deceiving someone.
So having the courage to speak up, to be a whistleblower, even when it's hard, that's part of ethical due diligence.
It is. And while it can be intimidating, Barkris reminds us that this kind of ethical leadership is essential if we want to have trust in the markets.
Okay, I'm really seeing how Barkris goes beyond just the legal stuff. It speaks to these broader values, this idea of responsible financial practices.
I agree. It's a powerful reminder that due diligence isn't just about checking off boxes. It's about embracing this mindset of ethical awareness, transparency, and always, always putting those investors first.
We've covered a lot of ground in this deep dive into Escathy Barkris. What's the one big takeaway you hope our listeners will remember from this case?
You know, for me, it's how relevant Barkris still is today. The financial world is constantly changing, right? But the core principles of due diligence, the things we've been talking about, they're still so important. It really shows how powerful legal precedent can be in shaping how we behave and how we make decisions.
Well said. I think we've all gained a much deeper understanding of due diligence and how important it is. Any final thoughts for our listeners before we sign off?
Sure. I'd encourage everyone to think about how these lessons from Barkris can be applied not just in their work, but also in their personal lives, especially when it comes to making investment decisions. Whether it's buying stock or investing in real estate, those due diligence principles can help people make smarter, more responsible choices.
That's great advice. So as we wrap up our deep dive into SKV Barkris Construction Corp., let's remember that due diligence is about so much more than just meeting legal requirements. It's about being ethical, protecting investors, and ultimately building a financial system that we can all trust. Thanks for joining us, and until next time, stay curious and never be afraid to ask those tough questions.